Let's begin. The topic that we were going to focus on is Birkas HaChama, which is really obviously a calendar-related event and not necessarily a Pesach-related event. It has only tangentially connected to Pesach in the fact that the time frame for Birkas HaChama has something to do with the season of the spring, and therefore is tangentially connected to the notion of Nisan and the calendar as we have it, which in the month of Nisan. But in itself is an event that occurs in accordance with the calculations of the solar year, and therefore really is not related to the Hebrew months per se, and in that context completely unrelated to Pesach. Nonetheless, I think that there's relevance to the fact that Birkas HaChama this year falls on Erev Pesach, and so the purpose of this discussion in the context of Shabbos HaGadol is in fact to look at Birkas HaChama both from the context of what Birkas HaChama is per se, the calculations, the substance, and the halachic issues that went into or go into a discussion of Birkas HaChama, as well as some of the themes that connect the meaning of this bracha with the meaning of Pesach per se and the convergence of these two events. As such, the point of departure for us really is the fact that the calendar as we have it, the whole calendar, both the lunar component of the calendar and the solar component of the calendar, really begin in the story of Pesach. They begin at Yitzhak Mitzrayim because of the mitzvah, first mitzvah given to Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, which is a Chodesh Zelachem, Rosh Chodeshim. That declaration that this month is for you, the first of months, that this is really the beginning of for you, the calendar structure, months counting from Nisan, the years counting from Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the whole structure of the calendar starts from that moment of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. That was the mitzvah given to Bnei Yisrael the night of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. They were actually it was given to them in advance, but to be as an introduction to the Korban Pesach and to the Pesach Seder. So certainly the notion of the calendar has its roots in the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And so that's really what I wanted to start with, just an understanding of the connection between the calendar as a whole and Yitzhak Mitzrayim per se. Why is it that as they're about to leave Egypt, the first thing that they are told, and the most important thing relevant to them at that moment, is the story of a calendar? All of the things to discuss, why put the calendar in HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodeshim at the top of the agenda? The calendar essentially is based on two fundamental anchors. One is HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodeshim, and the other, as we discussed at length in the calendar course, was the notion of Shamor et Chodesh Ha'aviv Yasita Pesach LaHashem, the connection between the months and the seasons, and the correlation between the lunar and the solar calendar. So the real chiddush in that calendar, the real novelty, is the notion not only of a calendar system that begins at that point, but also of the merging of the solar and the lunar calendar into one. So one of the theories that has been put forward is that the novelty here was to link the calendar to the moon, especially because of the context in which Bnei Yisrael was living in Egypt. Egypt was a society that had a very ancient culture of sun worship, one of the earliest cultures of sun worship in civilization. That goes all the way back to Yitzhak Mitzrayim is associated with the 18th and 19th dynasties. Sun worshipping of Egypt goes back to the 4th or 5th dynasty, goes all the way back for many, really to the dawn of civilization in Egypt. There's a little quote here in the source page from the Wikipedia and the history, just a kind of a one paragraph excerpt on the history of sun worship with a hieroglyphic that I pulled out from somewhere on one of the early examples of the pharaoh standing there with his queen behind him and the sun and the rays of the sun behind it kind of showering down the divine power upon the pharaoh of Egypt. The whole notion of deities in pagan mythology was that the deities were somehow connected to the sources of life. And so it was not uncommon to find civilizations that would worship those icons that provided them with life and sustenance. And in Egypt, that would have been the sun and the Nile, because it provided the water from the Nile and the sustenance from the sun. Unlike in Canaan, where they developed the idolatrous culture of Baal, which is a fertility god and the god of rain, because in Canaan they essentially in Canaan they worship their source of water was from the rain. So it was not an uncommon phenomenon to have that kind of division. And in Egypt, certainly the notion of the Nile and the sun playing central roles as deities of Egypt plays a significant role in the whole context of Yetziat Mitzrayim. So, for example, we know that when the plagues of Egypt began, the first series of plagues were directed at the Nile River. Dam, Tzfardea, Kinim, the first three plagues, all emerged from the Nile. It's a famous medrash about how Moshe couldn't do them. They had to be done by Aaron because the Nile had saved Moshe. The first plagues clearly focused on the Nile. The pasuk says, "Ubachol Elohim Mitzrayim eseh shvatim." God will execute judgment against the gods of Egypt. And there was this notion that the plagues were not only a educational message, but also a showdown, if you will, kaviyachol, between the gods of Egypt, small g, and the God of the Hebrews, capital G. And you see it, and that's what the pasuk means. So, v'chol Elohim Mitzrayim, eseh shvatim. I will not only execute judgment against the Pharaoh, against Paro and against his people, but against the gods of Egypt, so that they should know that Ani Hashem, that they should know who God is. In that context, there's a number of interesting phenomena. For example, we know that there's a sequence of Moshe going down to warn Paro at the beginning of each set of plagues. First and second has a warning, the third does not. The second in each of those series, the warning takes place in the palace. The first in each of those series, and you can go through the psukim, I've given you one example. Lechel paro ine yotze ha-maima. Lechel paro baboker ine yotze ha-maima. Benitzavtali kvato al svat ha-yor. Vamater shenepach lenachash tikach biyadecha. It's the first, the introduction to the plague of Dam. Go to Paro in the morning. He goes out to the Nile. Stand by him, by the edge of the Nile, and take the staff with you. So Rashi already points out that the reason why Paro goes down to the Nile is because Paro was looked at himself as a kind of a deity, and therefore he went down to the Nile in the morning to pray and to do whatever he needed to do. But if you look at the convergence of symbols at that moment, you have Paro standing at the Nile in the morning, Abokir,
sunrise.
So what you have essentially in that moment is the convergence of all three of the key images or icons of Egyptian culture at to which and against which God was declaring war. And that's what the plagues were all about. The first three plagues targeted the Nile. The last three plagues, Barad, Arba, and Choshech, target the sun. And all three of them speak about darkening the skies and darkening the earth. By Barad, v'chisat ein ha'aretz, the earth will be covered. V'lo yuchal lir'ot et ha'aretz, you won't be able to see the land. Arba, which came from the heavens as well, Barad came down from the sky. Arba, it says, v'yichaset ein ha'aretz v'techshach ha'aretz, there was darkness over the land. And Arba and Choshech are inherently connected because a plague of locusts literally does just that. It covers the sky. And of course, the last plague before Makkah Pachot, which was Choshech. So, as the first three plagues emerged from the Nile and demonstrated the kind of the attack of the Nile against the Egyptian people, and thereby demonstrating God's attack on the Nile, the last three plagues emerged from the sky, and it's as if the sun was now attacking the Egyptian people, or God was attacking the sun. So, you have this theme that runs through. Both the Nile, Chazal talk about at length. Chazal don't talk about the sun god as much, but I think it's a theme that runs through Yetziat Mitzrayim. In that context, it could be, and this is a little bit of a conjecture, but it could be that that's part of why the notion, the novelty of establishing a lunar-based calendar, and doing so dafka while still in Egypt, dafka the night of the Seder, dafka under the context of Korban Pesach, was essentially part of the cultural rebellion against the Egyptian influence that they had endured for so many centuries. And that really essentially the marking that says we are going to establish a new calendar. It's going to be lunar-based and not solar-based, or not only solar-based, but going to be this combination. That already was a new idea for Mitzrayim. The other possibilities as to why the calendar was so important have to do with the notion of time and the idea that this is talked about in various places, but the idea that for a slave, you know, what marks the difference between a slave and a free man is essentially their time. Control of time. That a slave is not master of his own time, and that essentially is the core of freedom. So that may also explain why at that very heart of the critical moment, the mitzvah given to them was to establish a calendar system, which was this complex combination of lunar and solar calculations. That's as way of background to understand why the calendar plays such a critical role in the Yetziat Mitzrayim story per se. In the context of the solar background, it's interesting, the name of the Egyptian sun god in has various names, but there's a whole story of how it comes about, but the name is called, in some sources, Ra, and some sources, Re. R-A or R-E. Mm-hmm. There's one reference to it in a Rashi in Shmos, where Rashi says, there's a pasuk after Chet Ha'ego, where Moshe says to God not to kill the Jewish people, because the Egyptians will say, Ki bera hotziyam
mitzrayim. Yes, that's a star called Ra.
Right, and Rashi says that there was a star called Ra that they thought would be that they would blame the Exodus on. Whether it's a star called Ra, I don't know, but there is an ancient Egyptian deity, which was the sun, that was called Ra. So it's an interesting observation. I'm not sure even Rashi was even aware of the cultural background to it. He may have been, but it's an interesting issue because it gives a background to that comment of Rashi in Sefer Shmot.
The sound of music. Ray, a drop of golden sun.
Right, Ray, a drop of golden sun. Exactly. That's where it comes from. That's exactly where it comes from. These are our themes and ideas that go back many, many years. Which brings us to a discussion of the calendar. Calendar, as we talked about at length during the calendar course, essentially divides between two components. That which is solar-lunar combination, the leap year cycle, which we're not going to rehash here. And that which is purely solar-based, which is essentially two mitzvot, namely Talumata and Birkas HaChama, which are based purely on seasons. And because we've discussed this in various contexts in the last couple of weeks, what I'm going to do is run through quickly a brief review of the sources relevant to Birkas HaChama, and then move into the subject of the discussion this evening, which is what I call the mistake of Birkas HaChama. And we touched on that a little bit in the calendar course. We're going to do a little bit more in detail this evening. So just a quick review. The two primary sources for an understanding of what Birkas HaChama is all about are sources on page 2, sources 6 and 8. First is the Gemara in Erevin, which is known in the Halacha as Tkufas Shmuel. The notion that Shmuel calculates the length of the solar year. And he gives us the length of the solar year by defining the length of each season. The solar year is made up of four seasons of equal length, each season defined by the equinox and solstices, the vernal equinox, the summer solstice, the autumnal equinox, and the winter solstice, which in the language of Shmuel are called Tkufat Nisan. In the language of Shmuel is called Tkufat Nisan, referring to the spring or vernal equinox, Tkufat Tammuz, which is the summer solstice, Tkufat Tishrei, which is the winter solstice, which is the autumnal equinox, and Tkufat Tevet, which is the winter solstice. The word Tkufa referring to both the season and the moment when the season begins, the turning point in the seasons of the year. The word Tkufa coming from the word Lahakif, to turn or to surround. And the basic statement that Shmuel says is the last line of this source, which is Ein bein tkufa l'tkufa ela tishim ve'echad yom v'sheva sha'ot u'mechza. The duration of each season is no other than 91 days and 7.5 hours. Shmuel calculates the exact length of each season as 91 days, 7.5 hours. What is he essentially saying? If you multiply 91 days, 7.5 hours by 4, you get exactly 365.25 days. In other words, what Shmuel is saying is that the length of the solar year is 365.25 days. Divide by 4, you get the length of each season. Shmuel goes one step further, and he tells us the exact day, exact hours of the day that each season can occur. And the reason he can say that is because if each season is 91 days, 7.5 hours, it means 91 divided by 7 divides evenly, which means that it's an exact multiple of a certain number of weeks plus 7.5 hours. It means that the seasons shift in terms of day of the week and hour by a total of 7.5 hours each season. So if, for example, and this is essentially the example that Shmuel is working with. If you take a look at chart number, the source number 7, which is a chart, if I start the seasons at fourth day of the week at 6 p.m., which is known as 0 hour, because the day starts at 6 p.m., and that's the first season of the first moment of creation, namely Tkufat Nisan, which is the beginning of creation. The world is created in Nisan, and the sun and the moon are created on the fourth day. So Tkufat Nisan is defined as the first time the sun has a vernal equinox. That moment is the fourth day of the week, which is Wednesday, the day of creation for the sun and the moon, at 0 hour, the beginning of the day. If the seasons move by 91 days, 7.5 hours each season, it means that Tkufat Tammuz will occur instead of a Tuesday, that should be Tuesday at 6 p.m. for Tkufat Nisan, Tkufat Tammuz will occur on Wednesday at 1:30 a.m. 91 days later, which is exactly a multiple of 7, 91 divided by 7 is 13 weeks. It's 13 weeks and 7.5 hours. Wednesday, 1:30 a.m. Tkufat Tishrei will be Wednesday at 9 a.m. 182 days, 15 hours later. Tkufat Tevet, Wednesday, 4:30 p.m., which is 273 days, 22.5 hours later. And Tkufat Nisan, the next year, 365.25 days, is a 1 day and 6 hour shift. So Tkufat Nisan, the year following, will be Thursday at 12 a.m. Tkufat Nisan the third year will be Friday at 6 a.m. Tkufat Nisan the fourth year will be Saturday at 12 p.m. And so the cycle continues, because the year is 365.25 days long, says Shmuel. That's essentially the first piece of information, that the notion of the length of the year is defined by Shmuel as 365.25 days long. Then the Gemara in Bracha says the following, Tanur Banan, Hawa'ech hamah b'tkufata. If one sees the sun, bitkufata, which for our purposes we will translate as at its turning point, levana b'gvurata v'kochavim b'msilotam, if you see the moon and its power, the planets and their orbits, mazalot b'kisidran, the signs of the zodiac in their orderly progress, one says the bracha, omer baruch oseh breshit, or oseh maaseh breshit, depending on the nusach and the gemara. Ve'emat havi, when does this occur? Amar Abaye, kol chavchet shana, kol chavchet shnin. This occurs every 28 years. Says Rashi, the question, how often does this occur, is referring specifically to the first phenomenon, ha'o'er chama b'tkufata. If you see the sun in its turning point, meaning, what is the sun in its turning point? So Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, which is essentially the understanding we paskin by, we'll see there's another way to read this Gemara, but Rashi's understanding of this Gemara means that Haro'ech HaMavet Kufata means you see the sun in its turning point, meaning at its vernal equinox, but at its vernal equinox at the exact same place in the heavens it was at the moment of creation, namely Tuesday at 6 p.m. or Wednesday at the 0 hour. When will it occur that this vernal equinox will return to its starting point of Wednesday 0 hour? If it shifts a day and a quarter each year, how many iterations will it take for the Tkufa to return to its exact starting point, or an even multiple of 7? And the answer to that is, it will take 28 iterations for, that's a simple mathematical equation, the least common multiple of 1.25 and 7, and you get, the least common multiple is 35, it's 28 iterations before for it to come out exactly back where it starts. If you want, there's a little chart that I found on the bottom of page 3 that shows you the cycles, each one, starting where, start year 1, the Tkufa will shift to Wednesday 6 p.m., the end of year 2, it's Thursday 6 p.m., the end of year 3, it is Saturday at 12 p.m., Friday 6 a.m., and then Saturday at 12 p.m., the end of year 4, and you can see, you can go through the spiral, and how many iterations will it take for the Tkufa to come back to Tuesday at 6 p.m.? And the answer, of course, is 28. That's where the 28-year cycle is. So, says Rashi, essentially what the Gemara is saying is that every 28 years, we have an opportunity to recite a bracha when the sun returns to its starting position vis-a-vis the earth as it was at the moment of creation, which was Wednesday 0 hour or Tuesday 6 p.m., when you see that, then the next day when you see the sun, you can recite a bracha. And that's exactly how it is formulated in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch, in sources 11 and 12.
Question.
Yes.
How do they know the sun was Shabtai? Where did they get that from?
The sun is not Shabtai. The issue of the zodiac is a complexity that I didn't want to go into here. It has to do with the fact that every hour of the day, the same way there are zodiac signs that cover the sky, every hour is assigned one sign of the zodiac based on where the zodiac arch is rising at any given moment.
Agreed. I saw a difference between the Arizal and the Villegon, exactly how the thing works.
Right. So I'm not even going to go into the issue of the zodiac because it's completely irrelevant to Birkas HaChama.
Agreed.
So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, essentially the Shulchan Aruch paskins according to the language of the Rambam, with a minor change. The Rambam quotes essentially this interpretation of Rashi: Haro'eh tachama b'yom tkufat Nisan shel tchilat ha'machzor shel shmona ve'esrim shana. If you see the sun at the time of tkufat Nisan, b'tkufata, meaning referring to tkufat Nisan, the vernal equinox, at the beginning of the cycle of 28 years, she'atkufa b'tchilat lel revi'i, when the Tkufa returns to its point of the beginning of Wednesday in this context meaning 6 p.m., then kishiro'eota b'yom revi'i baboker, when you see the sun the next morning, mivarech baruch haseh breshit. Then you recite the bracha of creation, baruch haseh breshit. There is another nusach of the Gemara that has the bracha baruch haseh maaseh breshit, which is the same bracha we make over seeing great rivers and canyons and thunder and lightning, and that's in fact how we paskin, most poskim agree that the bracha that we say is oseh maaseh breshit, even though the Rambam says oseh breshit. And the lashon in the Shulchan Aruch, the language in the Shulchan Aruch, is virtually the same. That's the story of the Birkas HaChama. It's actually not so complicated from a perspective of the basic sources as to why we say this bracha. Gets complicated is the fact, as we'll see in a moment, that most of these sources seem to be based on issues which are open to debate and perhaps even in error. And that's really why the subject of the title of tonight's discussion is the mistake of Birkas Acham. And we'll get to that in a moment. One observation, and that is that there was a number of reports that went out repeating the story of a claim that was made or attributed to one of the Ostrovtsi Rebbe in 1925 when Birkas HaChama occurred on Erev Pesach, supposedly having claimed that Birkas HaChama has only ever fallen on Erev Pesach three times in history: Yitziat Mitzrayim, Purim, and that year. It's simply not true. It's not accurate. First of all, we have no idea if Birkas HaChama, if Yitziat Mitzrayim was the year of Birkas HaChama. If the calendar we have today was perpetuated backwards, then Yitziat Mitzrayim, which is in the year 2448, was not a year of Birkas HaChama, number one. Number two, we know that Birkas HaChama occurs more than three times in history on Erev Pesach. It's essentially a solar phenomenon, and its connection to Erev Pesach is coincidental at best. So for our purposes, it helps us because it'll converge for us two themes, but it really has, I don't believe it has really any eschatological or historical significance. Which brings us to the first of the two quote-unquote mistakes that seem to be underlining the principles of Birkas HaChama. The first is on page 4. Birkas HaChama makes the assumption that Tkufat Nisan is the starting point of creation, and therefore we are working our way through a cycle that starts in Nisan, or starts in the springtime, and will come back to the springtime. The problem with that assumption is that it is open to a debate amongst the Tanaim. Gemara records in Masechet Rosh Hashanah a famous debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua as to whether or not the world was created in the month of Nisan or the world was created in the month of Tishrei. If the world was created in the month of Nisan, Birkas HaChama makes sense. If the world was created in the month of Tishrei, then Birkas HaChama is in the wrong month. Then the entire institution should be in the month of Tishrei and not in the month of Nisan. If you had the same cycle, it would just start 6 months earlier or 6 months later. That's the first problem. The second problem is that every Rosh Hashanah, we say in our tefillah, a tefillah that seems to say we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer that the world was created in Tishrei. Because on Rosh Hashanah, we make the declaration, Zeh hayom tchilat ma'asecha. This day is the beginning of your creation. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in source 19, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin, states explicitly, Kiman matzlinen ha'idna zeh hayom tchilat ma'asecha. When we make this declaration of zeh hayom tchilat ma'asecha, according to whom are we making this declaration? Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua? And the Gemara answers, Kiman k'Rabbi Eliezer da'amah b'tishrei nivra olam. We're making that declaration in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the world is created in Tishrei. So on Rosh Hashanah, we actually say in our tefillah, in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the Musaf, that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, the world is created in Tishrei. Comes Birkas HaChama, we're going to stand outside and make a bracha that essentially says that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, that the world is created in Nisan. That sounds to me like a contradiction. It's not only a debate. You could argue it's a debate that we paskin like one or the other. But here, on two different anchors of the year, we paskin both. That's very difficult. That's a question that was posed by the Rishonim. It's posed by Rashi, it's posed by Tosfot. In fact, in some ways, it's even posed by the Gemara. Because the Gemara in Source 17 states, Tanur Rabbanan, Chachmei Yisrael, Monin L'Mabul, K'Rabbi Eliezer, L'Tkufa, K'Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara paskins at the end of the discussion of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua that there's a kind of a split. That with regards to the Mabul, which means what? Which means, says Rashi, that when we count the years, Shnot Noach, Ubriata Olam, when we're calculating the calendar to determine what year it is, Ushnot Hadorot, What year are we today? 5, 7, 6, 9. We are calculating those years, Ki Rabbi Eliezer, counting from Tishrei. Whereas, V'lo mishum desvira luhu b'tishrei nivra olam, not because we paskin that the world was created in Tishrei, because in fact we paskin that the world was created in Nisan. But the calendar conventions of how we count the years start from Tishrei, independent of the fact that the world was created in Nisan. The world was created in Nisan, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. But we start a calendar from Rosh Hashanah, and the calendar goes from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, year to year is counted according to Tishrei. Says Rashi, not because we paskin the world was created in Tishrei, we paskin the world was created in Nisan. And that is essentially what Tosfot says as well. He says so in Source 21, it's a Tosfot on Daf Yud Bet. Even though we paskin that the world was created in Nisan, nonetheless, the age of the years, the dating of each year, goes from Tishrei, because that's where the cycles of Shemitah and Yovel began. So since Shemitah and Yovel begins in Tishrei, when we want to talk about the year as a cycle, so we date, the calendar dating is a convention, it has no... doesn't have to match an astronomical phenomenon. It doesn't have to match the starting of the universe. Starting of the universe could have been in Nisan. The calendar starts in Tishrei because of the cycle of Shemitah and Yovel. But that, of course, assumes that we're paskening that the world was created in Nisan, not in Tishrei. But every time we get to Rosh Hashanah, we say, Zayom. Today is the birthday of the world. So in Rosh Hashanah we say the world is created in Tishrei, and Birkas HaChama we say the world is created in Nisan, and we have essentially a built-in contradiction. The Gemara seems to paskin both. That's a problem, because they're essentially contradictory. And we could leave it at that, and we could move on, because I don't really have a good answer to this challenge, except to show a couple of examples of how the Rishonim struggled with this issue. So, for example, Tosfot makes an astounding observation in Source 20, which is a Tosfot in the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, on the Gemara and Hataf Chav Zayin, which talks about paskening, like Rabbi Eliezer, that the world was created in Tishrei when we get to the Rosh Hashanah davening. So Tosfot says, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua letkufa when it comes to things like Birkas HaChama. So how can we say this prayer of Hayom Arat Olam? Says Tosfot, b'tishrei ala b'machshava livrot v'lo nivra ad nisan. Like Haviyachol, the Rebbeinu Shalom had the idea germinate in the month of Tishrei, but the actual creation occurred 6 months later in the month of Nisan. How could you have a Tishrei and a Nisan Bechlau before the world was created? I'm not sure. But the notion that the world was a creation of the world was a process, and that some part of that process occurs in Tishrei, and another part of that process occurs in Nisan, and even though it's 6 days of creation, here we have 6 months of a process leading up to creation. Don't ask me what it means, because I don't have the slightest idea, but it's an interesting indication of how deep this problem was. Another example, the Ben Yoyodo, the Ben Ishchai of Yosef of Baghdad, 1830, the 19th century. Ben Ishchai, right in the middle of this paragraph, says something very similar to Tosfot. He uses a different language, though. He says, "Ha-herayon haya b'tishrei, v'halida b'nisan." Says the conception of the world was in Tishrei, and 6 months later, you had the gestation period of the world, and the world was created, and it was born in Nisan. That's why we say Hayom Harat Olam on Rosh Hashanah. We say that today was the conception of the world, not the creation of the world.
When the blueprints were done.
I don't know what it means. I really don't know what it means. What I do know is that partially because of this question, and partially because of a textual issue, there's another interpretation of the original Gemara in Brachos altogether. When the original statement that said, Haro'echa ma b'tkufata, if you see the sun in its Kufa, you make a bracha, which Rashi, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch all interpreted to mean when you see the sun return to its starting point in creation at the month of Nisan, which led to our problem. to that passage in the Gemara, there is a alternative interpretation completely. It's based on a sheet of the Aruch, which is an 11th century Rishon, as well as a statement in the Yerushalmi. And the Aruch says in source 23, right in the middle, Perush Acher, Chama B'Tkufata, when the Gemara talked about the sun in its Tkufa, and Kochavimu Mazalot Kesidran, and here the Aruch is saying it's all one concept. The Rashi's interpretation and the Rambam's interpretation is that each one of those ideas are independent of each other. The Aruch is saying they're all one connected idea. The sun in its Tkufa, the stars, the constellations, everything in their proper sequence. B'yomot HaGshamim. We're talking about an event that occurs in the middle of the rain season. Be'et sheyu gimel yamim ma'unanim. If you have 3 days of cloud cover, you had a 3-day storm, and for 3 days you couldn't see the sun because it was a 3-day winter storm. V'lo ni'et chama ben, v'lo kochavim. And you couldn't see the sun, you couldn't see the stars for 3 days straight. Ota et, when the sky is finally clear and the storm is over and you see the sun and you see the stars, tzuchim levarech alehem be'et sheyitra'u, you have to make the bracha, baruch haseh maaseh bereshit, v'zulati zot ha'et lo, and at no other time. These two interpretations are mutually exclusive. This interpretation says that the whole passage of Birkas, the whole notion of Birkas HaChama as we have it, is a mistake. Can't make a bracha on Birkas HaChama, because it's not the Gemara upon which it's based is not referring to some 28-year cycle of the based on Tkufa Shmuel. It's based on a completely different concept. That if you have 3 days of storm, at the end of those 3 days of storm, you see the sun again after 3 days, you make a bracha of a sema sevrishit. And it's brought down in the... It's actually seems to be based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi's version of the same passage we saw in the Bavli. The Gemara in Brachas talks about how ha'eret ha'chama b'tkufata Amar Rebuchuna hadod teima b'yemot ha'gshamim bilvad l'chash d'vashayamim. This is referring to in the season of the rain after 3 days. So the source of the Aruch is the Yerushalmi.
It has nothing to do with 28 years.
It has nothing to do with 28 years. There's no 28-year cycle to talk of in this passage. It has to do with a sun-cloud block for 3 days. Like Makat Choshech, where they couldn't see the sun for 3 days. When the sun came out, you make a bracha of a sema sebreshit. These two interpretations are mutually exclusive. Now, why do we say the bracha Birkas HaChama? Because we paskin like the Rambam and Rashi and the Rif and all the Rishonim who explain the Gemara as we originally did. There is a shita in the Rishonim. It's a minority opinion. It's the Aruch and Rabbeinu Chananel, and it's brought down in the Halacha. But we don't paskin like this interpretation. I raise it. I share it with you so you understand that it resolves this great difficulty. The first of our difficulties, which is that the Birkas HaChama contradicts the theme of Rosh Hashanah, may have led many Rishonim to a bias towards this alternative opinion, which is that Birkas HaChama doesn't exist. Because we're not talking about Tkufat Nisan, we're talking about a sun cloud cover.
So his interpretation was any time that there were 3 days without
sun? Any time you have 3 days without sun straight, because of a storm,
right.
After the storm clears, you make a bracha or sema sevrishit. Much as you make a bracha on lightning in the middle of the storm, or sema sevrishit, when the sun clears. And at the end of the shir, I'll share with you a further insight on this Yerushalmi and this Aruch that connects to Birkas HaChama. But it is a completely separate, parallel interpretation, and it concludes, says the Aruch, that this is the only... In other words, if you accept this interpretation of the Gemara, there is no Birkas HaChama, which raises one of the questions in the Rishonim as to whether or not this doesn't create at least a concept of a suffix, of a doubt, as to whether or not we should recite Birkas HaChama. And whenever there's a doubt for a bracha, we always pass on suffix bracha lahakel, and the question becomes why we make a bracha on Birkas HaChama altogether. So we'll come back to that issue in a moment. That's the first issue. So there's the potential for an interpretation of the Gemara that eliminates Birkas HaChama altogether. Leaving that aside, let's go back to the classic understanding of the Gemara in Brachos that Re'ech Amar B'Tkufata is referring to Tkufa Shmuel, and after 28 years, Tkufa Shmuel's calculation, the year, the length of the soul, the year is 365 and a quarter days. It brings us back to a moment of where the sun returns to its starting point in the creation process, namely Tuesday, 6 p.m., moving in the weekly cycle, moving a day and a quarter each year, and after that 28-year cycle, you make a bracha of a semester rishit. Which brings us to our second dilemma, and that is the question of whether or not Shmuel was correct. Simple question. Is Shmuel's calculation correct? If Shmuel's calculation is in error, then maybe Birkas HaChama is in error. Simple question. The question is a very strong one for a number of reasons. First of all, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you the following question. According to Shmuel, Birkas HaChama is a commemoration of Tkufat Nisan every 28 years. Tkufat Nisan is defined as the vernal equinox, or the beginning of the springtime. Is it possible for Birkas HaChama to coincide or to fall in a Hebrew date after Pesach? Conceptually, is it ever possible for Birkas HaChama to occur after Pesach?
Conceptually.
It's impossible, because the whole definition of the calendar is set up so that Pesach is always in the springtime. If Tkufat Nisan is the beginning of the spring, then Birkas HaChama has to always be before Pesach. Agreed?
Yes.
In the year 2037, which is the next Birkas HaChama, April 8th, 2037, the Hebrew date of Birkas HaChama will be the 23rd of Nisan. Problem?
Oh, yeah.
It's a week after Pesach. And it violates the fundamental rule of the calendar, which is that Pesach has to always occur always occur after Tkufat Nisan. And that's how it's formulated in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that the Tkufat Nisan has to be before Pesach. So now we have a problem. Not only do I have a problem with the question of Nisan versus Tishrei, I have a problem with Nisan. According to Shmuel, according to this whole concept of Birkas HaChama, it could never occur after Pesach, and yet it does. Why? So this is already the first indication that what we have in the calendar is a contradiction. The Rambam talks about this at length in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, where he says that the length of the solar year in the tradition of the calendar as it was set up, there are two different traditions for how long the solar year is. The classic, which is Shmuel, 365 and a quarter days long, leads to Birkas HaChama calculation as we have it. There's another calculation that the Rambam calls Tkufat Rav Ado, which is a calculation that is attributed to an Amora called Rav Ado, contemporary to Shmuel, give or take, with a different calculation for the length of the solar year. The length of the solar year for Shmuel is 365 and a quarter days. The length of the solar year for Rav Ado, the Rambam defines it here without going through the text of the Rambam, I give it to you in shorthand, is 365 days, 5 hours, 997 parts, 48 moments. A part being 1/1080th of an hour. In other words, according to Rav Ado, the year is not 365 and a quarter days long. It's 365 days, 5 hours, and approximately, or almost, it's about 5 minutes less than 6 hours.
So over a period of centuries, it adds up.
Over a period of centuries, it adds up. There's a difference of a day per every 200 years. So the answer to the question of Pesach is that our calendar and our leap year cycle, our 19-year leap year cycle, is based on Tkufat Rav Ado. It's not based on Tkufat Shmuel. And the reason for it is very simple. well, not so simple. I'll do the without getting too bogged down in the math, but the reason for it works as follows. If you take 19 leap years, 19 years of a leap year cycle, 7 leap years, 12 non-leap years, total number of months, lunar months, in 19 years is 235. The theory would be that the solar 19-year solar years and 19 lunar years at the end of a 19-year cycle should coincide, because that's what the 19-year cycle is all about. In fact, 235 lunar months is 1 hour and 485 parts short of 365 and 6 hours times 19. In other words, Tkufat Shmuel leaves us with a remainder of 1 hour, 485 parts. Tkufat of Ada defines the solar year as exactly 1/19th of the 19-year cycle. So there's no remainder. It's a much more complicated calculation, but there's no remainder. The difference between them is about 5 minutes. Now, we actually know that 365 and a quarter days for the length of the solar year is incorrect. So that was the famous Julian calendar, Gregorian calendar issue, because the length of the actual solar year is about 11 minutes shy of 365 and a quarter days. So Tkufat Shmuel is 11 minutes a year off. Tkufat Shmuel is exactly the same as the Julian calendar. In 1580s, whatever year it was, that they shifted from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, 1580-something, right, they compensated for that difference. And the chart on the bottom of page 5 have given you the exact differential between each of these opinions. The standard calendar year, or the Gregorian calendar year, which is 365.2425 days, with Ado, which is 365.24682, and Shmuel, which is 365.25. In the course of 128 years, you're going to lose a day, according to Shmuel, and according to Rav Ada, it'll take 216 years to lose a day. So it's not exactly accurate completely, but it's much more accurate than Shmuel's calculations were. The interesting thing is that the Rambam paskins both. He says the calendar is based on Rav Ada. Tkufat Birkas Hachama is based on Shmuel. We passed them both. We built a calendar around Tkufat Avada, and we left Birkas Achama according to Tkufat Shmuel. And that's where we have these oddities, like Birkas Achama after Pesach. So they're actually self-contradictory. They're two different systems. If one's right, the other is wrong. And yet we passed both. Understand the problem? So if you understand that Shmuel's calculations were in error, and in fact not only were they in error, but that Chazal knew that they were in error, and Chazal had a more accurate tradition as to what the solar year was in the scientific calculations of their time, how can we recite a bracha on the basis of a calculation which is clearly in error? And that they knew it. That's the question. That's the question that the Rishonim and Achronim struggle with. There's a lengthy literature on this issue. Birkas Achama seems to be based on a mistake. So if you turn to page 6, I've given you a smattering of a number of these sources just to give you an idea of the depth of this issue. For example, start with the famous Tshuva, the Masas Ben Yamin. The Masas Ben Yamin, Rabbi Yonam Slonik, lived in the 16th century in Poland. He was really the source of much of the discussion of this issue in Birkas Achama. He goes through the whole issue of Tkufa Shmuel versus Tkufa Tavada. He says clearly that Tkufa Tavada is more accurate than Tkufa Shmuel. 365 and a quarter days we know is inaccurate. And he writes in the middle paragraph where it's in bold, he says, "Achlibi mahases, my heart is questioning this whole institution of Birkas Achama." He says, I have some lingering doubts about the whole notion of this bracha. לפי זה משמע שאנו סומכים בחשבון התקופה, על חשבון התקופה, על חשבון דשמואל. ברכס החמה seems to indicate that we are relying on the calculations of Shmuel. אמנם לדעת רב עדה ולפי חשבונו, according to Rav Ada and his calculations, the solar and lunar calendars coincide with each other every 19 years, but they'll never go back to the creation starting point. It'll take something like 670,000 years for the calculations to bring us back to a starting point. V'cheshbon zeh d'Rav Ada hu ha'ikar, she'alav samchu chachmei ha'Talmud, v'gam ha'idna anu samchim alav. We today are relying on Rav Ada for our entire calendar. ולפיכך אין מקום לברכה זו לעולם לפי חשבון של רב עדה. There's no place for this bracha according to רב עדה. ואם תאמר היכב דינן תרתי דסתרי עדה, so he says, what do I do with this? It's a contradiction. For the leap year cycle we rely on רב עדה. For the ברכה זכם we rely on שמואל. They are clearly in contradiction with each other. How do we do both? Says the Masas ben Yamin. תלעניין הברכה עבדינן כשמול, עניין חשבון התקופות, ועיבור השנים, אנו סומכים על חשבון דרב עדה. Well, that's exactly the contradiction I just described. It says, לאו קושיי, it's not a question. Why not? דהכי נמי לעניין חשבון השנים, קיימלון כרבי אליעזר, דאמר בתשרי נברא העולם, ולעניין התקופות, קיימלון כרבי ישוע, דאמר בניסן נברא העולם. It's not the first contradiction in the calendar. I already showed you that we have another contradiction in the calendar. In Rosh Hashanah, we say the world was created in Tishrei. And Birkas HaChama, we say the world was created in Nisan. That's also a contradiction. So if we can live with that contradiction, we can live with this contradiction. So it concludes the Masas Ben Yamin. Therefore, we're going to go out and recite Birkas HaChama, even though it's in contradiction to our leap year cycle of Rav Ada. And we're not going to worry about it because it's not the first contradiction, it's the second contradiction. We've already established the fact that in Rosh Hashanah we say the world was created in Tishrei, and in Birkas HaChama we say the world was created in Nisan. And therefore, I'm not worried, so I have another contradiction in the system. Big deal. So says the Masas Ben Yamin. It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're talking about Brachel of Atollah, though.
Oh, that's the question that the Chassam Sofer raises that question. He says, I don't understand the whole bracha. He says, Tzorachi and Gadla. He says, why make a bracha altogether? There are, by the way, opinions that we do not recite God's name when we write this bracha. There are opinions that say we say the bracha without Shem HaMalchus, so Bekiva Eger and others. L'maisa, we don't paskin that way. L'maisa, we paskin, we say the bracha with Shem HaMalchus, and the conclusion of my shir today is to explain why we can get away with saying this bracha, b'shem ha'malchus. That's the goal. My goal at the end of this year is to understand how we can make a bracha on Birkas HaChama when the whole thing is based on a mistake. That's my end piece. In fact, if you look at the Shi'ar Knesset Agdola, which is Rav Chaim ben Benisti, who is also a little bit later than the Masas Ben Yamin, he's about the 17th century, he quotes the Masas Ben Yamin at length. And then he quotes the Masas Ben Yamin saying that we say this bracha anyway. The Shi'ar Knesset Agdola cites a custom in his community that did not say this bracha b'shem ha'malchus. It said the bracha without Shem Hashem. And he's trying to source where that custom comes from. So first he cites the Masas Ben Yamin. He says maybe it comes because we're of this contradiction between Rav Ada and Shmuel. He says no, that can't be because Masas Ben Yamin already said that we can live with that contradiction. So he says in the last paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up. V'lachein ani omer dahad elono agin levarech bracha zu mipnei perusho shel harav bal ha'aruch. The reason we don't say this bracha is because of the opinion of the aruch that I showed you before, that says that the whole gemara is interpreted differently. The gemara is referring to a storm for 3 days. It's not referring to a 28-year cycle. If that's the case, there's no place for Birkas HaChama altogether. So that must be the reason why we had a custom not to recite this bracha b'shem ha'malchus. But he raises this issue of Tkufa Tavada. Not only that, take a look at the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says something remarkable. He says, Api Amet, in the middle paragraph, where it's in bold, Api Ha'emet, אין כאן שום תקופה ולא הגיע החמה לראש מזל תלה בתחילת ליל דלת בממשלתו שבתאי. It says, astronomically, we know that Shmuel's calculations are in error. There is no vernal equinox on that day because his calculations are 11 minutes off. even without those calculations, are 5 minutes off. But certainly, according to Chazal, there are at least 5 minutes difference between Tkufa Shmuel and Tkufa Devada per year, added up to a day every 216 years. So we know that there is no astronomical phenomenon that matches what Shmuel says has to happen in order to make this bracha. A man of Arech. How can you make a bracha? Vitzarech Iyun Gadol, he says. This requires great investigation further. It doesn't make sense. I'll go one step further. If you go back to, I skipped source 31. Go back to source 31. The Tashbetz, 15th century, Sephardic scholar, Shimon ben Tzemach Duran. Tashbetz says something even more remarkable. He says, not only do we have a debate between Shmuel and Mevada as to whether the year length is 365 and a quarter or 365, 5 hours and 55 minutes, to round it off. Not only do we have a debate of 5 minutes between them. He says, Da, ki tkufat Mevada yoter kova la'emet mitkufat Shmuel. There's no question that the calculations of Mevada are more truthful, they're more accurate than the calculations of Shmuel. And he goes through the numbers. I'll skip the numbers. I'll skip to where it's in bold. Ukvar katvu ha-mechabrim binyan ha-tkufa shelo ne'lam davar zeh mishmuel. And our sages have already told us that this fact, that Rav Ada was more accurate than Shmuel, Shmuel himself knew this. Shmuel, first of all, is called an astronomer, Shmuel Yachinoah. Shmuel was the astronomer of the Talmud. Shmuel describes himself as knowing, being familiar with the ways of the sky, as familiar with the ways of the sky as he was with the roads of Neherda, which is the city he lived in. Shmuel was the astronomer of his generation. To suggest that Shmuel could make a mistake that Rav Ada, contemporary, could understand better is remarkable. So he says in the last bold paragraph, "Aval hu ra'a shetkufat Rav Ada tzricha dikduk chalakim u'rageim." He says Shmuel saw that Tkufa Devada was very complicated. I showed you what Tkufa Devada comes to, right? I showed you the numbers. 365 days, 5 hours, 997 parts, and 48 moments, with a moment defined as 1/76th of a part. Now go calculate that in the math. Ubnei Adam she'enam bekiyim b'cheshbon ayu toim b'zeh. Unless you're a mathematician, you're not going to be able to work with that number. Ma'asa, yisir kol ha'tama diktukim. So he took away all of those. He rounded off the numbers. For the purpose of Talamata, he rounded off the numbers. The purpose of Birkas HaChama, let's assume for the moment, even though he doesn't talk about Birkas HaChama, it's another Gemara, but he rounded off the numbers. And therefore, he says, "Kedei shelo yitzarchu ledakdek b'chalakim u'rebagim v'lo daka ve'alze amru tkufat Rav Ada betzina v'tkufat Shmuel b'farhesia." And that's why I say, just said that tkufat Shmuel was revealed. Tkufat Rav Ada was not revealed. Meaning the Beis Din, when it wanted to calculate the calendar, worked with a much more precise number called Tkufat Rav Ada. That was not given over to the populace. That was hidden. That was given only to Chazal and only to the inner workings of the Sanhedrin when they set up the calendar. The populace, which needed to know the calendar, the length of the solar year, for the purpose of Talamata and for the purpose of Birchas Hachama, so Shmuel gave them a very generic, general, rounded off number, 365 and a quarter days, figure out when the Tkufas are, figure out when to say Talamata, Shalom HaYisrael, and go home. Because it's simple, and it's a rounded number. But that means that even Shmuel would agree that there is no astronomical phenomenon occurring at that moment over which you can recite a bracha and say with certainty that every 28 years the sun returns to the same place in the heavens it was at the time of the creation. It's not true. Even Shmuel will agree it is not true. It's an approximation. But over the course of 1700 years since the calendar was set in place, that approximation is off now by 17 days. Approximately one day every 100 years. So it's a pretty gross approximation over the course of time. And that's the calculation we use to calculate Birkas HaChama, to stand out on the outside and gather the whole community together in order to recite a bracha over an astronomical phenomenon which does not exist. At that moment.
At precisely at that moment.
And may not exist at all, ever. Because according to Rav Ada, the sun will never return to the exact place in the sky where it was the moment of creation, because the numbers are off. You're just going to keep missing it. Cycle. We're now 5,796 years. We have not yet gotten back to that precise starting point, according to Rav Ada. So we have a problem. And the problem essentially revolves around the question of, is Birkas HaChama a mistake? Number one, we passed in Benissa Nivra Olam versus Betishra Nivra Olam, Rosh Hashanah and Birkas HaChama contradict each other. Number two, Rav Ada and Shmuel contradict each other. Our calendar is based on Rav Ada, not based on Shmuel. The only other component of Halacha that's based on Shmuel is the date for the start of Talumot and Chutz La'aretz, which is also another topic for discussion. But there's no bracha there. I can start Talumot whenever I want. So by convention, we start according to Tekufat Shmuel because it's easy to work with. But here, I'm making a bracha over what seems to be an astronomical phenomenon that does not happen. So what do I do with this? This is the question. That's why I entitled this year The Mistake of Birkat HaChama. So let me conclude with a suggestion as to why I think we can recite a bracha of Birkat HaChama and what I think this bracha is all about. If you go to the last page, there's a source here called Shilos and Tshuvos Laharis Nosson, which is written by Rav Nosson Gestetner, so Rav Dayan and Bnei Brak. He writes the following. I'm going to give you two or three little quotes from this passage and I'll explain what I think he is referring to. He starts with a question. Ein lakshot ech yivarech oseh maaseh breshit al hachama shemitzvotah levarech b'shat ha'tkufa. How can we make the bracha over maaseh breshit at this time? Halot kufah amitit kedat Rav Ada. We pass in fact like Rav Ada, not like Shmuel. And he goes through the whole cheshbon. He says that's not a question. Why not? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. Debemet hayam akom levarech osem maase breshit b'chol yom. Because really, it's a bracha you could recite any day of the year. Conceptually, what's the bracha? It's the bracha of creation. We say something similar in Yotzei Maor. Talk about creation. Hare Kadosh Baruch Hu mechadesh b'chol yom maaseh breshit. Kadosh Baruch Hu recreates creation every day of the year, as we say in the brach in tefillah. Kamo shetiknu lomar b'tefillat yotzer hameorot hamechadesh b'tuva b'chol yom maaseh breshit. Ela shechazal ratzu l'taken lomar bracha zu dafka bizman mesuyam, but lo b'chol yom. But Chazal wanted to fix this bracha at a specific time. We shouldn't make this bracha every day. Why? It shouldn't become like an old thing, like something that we get used to, so that we lose its value. He quotes a Gemara in Shabbos, which you actually, a little excerpt of it I gave you in source 42. Gemara there says that you say Psukkah Zimra every day, but Halal you're not allowed to say every day. Because if you say Halal every day, then you lose its significance. Halal is over events that are extraordinary. If you say Halal every day, you turn the extraordinary into the ordinary. Psukkah de Zimra is supposed to do the exact opposite. Psukkah de Zimra is supposed to look at nature and turn nature, which is ordinary, into something which is extraordinary. It's the exact opposite of Halal. So if you say Halal every day, says the Gemara, you're blasphemous. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, let my portion be amongst those who say Halal every day, says the Gemara, is referring to Psukkah de Zimra. So if you can't recite this bracha every day because it would become too ordinary, what do you do with this? Skip a couple of lines down to where you see the parentheses where it says Chaf Dalet in parentheses. V'lechein tiknu lomar b'tkufa klomar b'zman shelefi cheshbonam shel adam mitchadeshet hakafa chadasha shel hachama. So they establish the bracha at the time that most people think is the moment of the renewal of the tkufa. What does this mean? What I think it means is as follows. What he's saying is that what's the meaning of this bracha? There are a number of different contexts in which we say the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Breshit. There are, in fact, three different contexts in which we say this bracha of Oseh Maaseh Breshit. They're very different from each other. Two of them are recorded and have different contexts and application. The third is this Birkas HaChama. The first is, for example, if you see parts of the world that are grandiose and powerful. You see the Grand Canyon, you see the ocean, you see the if you see deserts and valleys and hills and mountains, you see Mount Everest, you see the Grand Canyon, you see the Atlantic or the Pacific Oceans, when you see Canadian Rockies, we used to talk about, if you see the significant places in the world that you stand back and are awestruck at the grandeur and the scale of creation, you stand back and you say the bracha of a semes appreciate. What are you saying the bracha for at that moment? What you're saying the bracha for at that moment is the creation that took place 6,000 years ago. You're looking at a component of the world that God created, and you are feeling the grandeur and the scale of the old creation that was at the time of Maaseh Bereishis. You look at the Mediterranean, you look at the ocean, you look at the Atlantic, you look at the mountains, you look at the Grand Canyon. These are things that are created by Maaseh Bereishis. And you feel that. There's a halacha that says that if you see these things within 30 days more than once, you can't make the bracha, because they're too ordinary for you. They have to stand out as an extraordinary moment where you glimpse what the scale of the creation of old was all about. You can say the bracha v'asa Maaseh Bereishis. The second context lahalacha in which we say the bracha is lightning and thunder in a storm. That's in Siman Reish Chaf Zayin, source 41. Ala brakim, ala ra'amim, ala ruchot. If you lightning, thunder, winds, strong winds, storms. If you experience the power of nature in a storm, and there's nothing more powerful than a devastating storm, then you say the bracha of a semes appreciate. What are you saying the bracha of it then? You're not saying the bracha of a creation of old. This lightning, this thunder, this storm, these winds aren't old, they're new. Bracha of a semes appreciate is over a new creation. It's over the power of nature to create now devastating forces. So it's a new creation at this moment. It's the exact opposite bracha to the mountains. The mountains, the bracha over creation of Maaseh Bereishis. The lightning and the thunder is over the power right now of something new. That's the second context of Allah. This bracha of Birkas Hachama is neither over something old nor something new. When you recite the bracha Birkas Hachama and you look at the sun, and we don't make the bracha on the sun, we're making a bracha on
the
creation of the sun. We're making the bracha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I have a trouble with translation. Birkas Hachama, the blessing of the sun. It's not the blessing of the sun, it's the blessing over the sun. It's a very subtle difference. What are we making a bracha over? When we look at the sun will look exactly the same tomorrow, the day before Birkas Hachama, as it looks on the day of Birkas Hachama. There's nothing I see in the sun that is inspiring me to see the grandeur of creation of old. There's nothing I see in the sun that I look at and they say, oh, look at the power of creation that's new and that's powerful, and nature is different now than it was yesterday. Nature hasn't inspired me to be by its power and awe. What am I making the bracha over? So that's what he's saying. The bracha is over mechadesh betuvo b'chol yom tamim asav reshit. The bracha is over a unique concept that our concept of creation is not that God created the world and let it go. Our concept of creation is that in order to sustain the world, there has to be an active act of creation every moment. The Rambam formulates this in his opening paragraph of his 13 Principles of Faith, when he talks about the Yesod HaRishon. The first principle is not to believe just in God who created the world, but belief in God who created the world and whose existence sustains the world. It's a doctrine of continuous creation. Mechadesh betuvo b'chol yom tamim asav reshit. God has to continuously maintain the world, or the world would cease to exist. That kind of bracha, Chazal instituted periodically cycles that indicate that kind of reminder of the power, the power of continuous creation, the cyclical nature of creation, the cyclical nature of nature, reminds me of that notion of Mechadesh B'Tuvah B'Chayim T'Mes Ebreshit. We only have one such example, and that's Birkas Hachama. But we have the possibility of a second. Remember the 3 days?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the 3 days? Yerushalmi that said that you make a bracha of Mas Ebreshit if there's cloud cover for 3 days. Why? Why 3 days?
Chazaka.
Excuse me?
Chazaka.
Possibly chazaka. Possibly this despair after 3 days of not seeing the sun, and suddenly you see the sun again, and you have to be inspired. So I heard a chiddush from J. David Blech that the 3 days is a reminder. When was the last time we had 3 days of darkness, and then the fourth day the sun came out?
Sis Mitzrayim.
Nope. Well, yes, Sis Mitzrayim. But the reminder here is in the context of nature. The last time in nature we had 3 days of darkness followed by the sun coming out on the fourth day was
Bria.
3 days of cloud cover and the sun coming out on the fourth day is a reminder of the Bria.
Okay.
In other words, it's a similar idea, even though we don't paskin that way, but it's a similar idea that there's this cycle that reminds me of the power of creation. It doesn't have to be an actual astronomical phenomenon. I'm not looking at the stars in an exact moment and saying, oh, they clicked. I'm looking at the concept of a cycle in nature, even if it's an approximate cycle. I don't actually have the, it doesn't have to match the astronomical phenomenon. Because I can make the bracha vosa masavishis anytime. What I'm making the bracha on is the awareness, the intellectual awareness, the concept, the inspiration that comes from understanding that Mechadesh B'Tuvah B'Chayim T'Mas Ebreshit, that God has to renew creation continuously and daily. I could say that bracha anytime. So Chazal set it in place over, call it a fictional cycle, a rounded off number. Shmuel knew it was a rounded off number. Chazal knew it was a rounded off number. It doesn't have to match an astronomical phenomenon, because the bracha isn't over the astronomical phenomenon. The bracha is over creation. It's over nature. It's over the cycle of nature. It's over the inspiration that that moment creates. Like the Rambam writes that if you want to come to an Avat Hashem, to a real sense of love of God, you have to study nature, you have to study the constellations and study the world. Because it's the grandeur, it's an understanding of nature that brings us to a love of God. Every 28 years we go out and we stop for a moment and we think and we contemplate what that concept is all about. This year it's Erev Pesach. And I'll conclude this with an observation that the theme of Hoseh Maaseh Bereshit, the theme of recognizing this doctrine of continuous creation, is at the heart of what Yetziat Mitzrayim is all about. That's a Ramban, a very powerful Ramban. Ramban says, and it's the last source of the page, source 45, Ramban says on the Pasuk, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzitifa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeit Avadim, that God, in the opening of the Aseret HaDibot, God comes to Bnei Yisrael at Hasinai and he says, I took you out of Egypt. So all the Mefarshim struggle with the question of why didn't God say, I created the heavens and earth? Famous question, because Zari asks this question, Ibn Ezra asks this question, Ramban asks this question. Ramban says that Yetziat Mitzrayim, the language of the Ramban,
you can't relate to it. That's all.
Well, they couldn't relate to it, but nonetheless, so how does the two concepts connect? He says, Amar Asher Otziticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Ki Hotza'atam Misham Torah Al Mitziyut. Leaving Egypt was proof of the existence of God and proof of the will of God, Yala Chayfetz Ki B'Yediyahu B'Hashgacha Mimenu Yitzanu Misham, because we left Egypt because God willed it so, and he provided protected us and guided us. V'gam Torah al hachidush, Yetziat Mitzrayim is proof of the concept of the renewal of creation. Because if the world always existed, then God couldn't change nature. God can only change nature because God created nature. He can only effect change in nature because he continuously sustains nature. That's the chiddush of Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Makot tell me that God not only created the world, but that nature itself is sustained only because God wills it so in every moment, and therefore God can abrogate and change those laws of nature at will because he's actively engaged in the world. He's actively engaged in not only the life of nature, but he's actively engaged in the life of the world itself, in the history of our people, and in our personal lives. There's a relationship that emerges from Yetziat Mitzrayim. There's a relationship with God that emerges from Yetziat Mitzrayim because we understand that God is actively engaged in this world. That's the principle upon which the bracha of Osama Seb Reshit, the Berkas Acham, is based. It's not I'm not looking at a grand canyon and saying, oh, what a grandeur of scale creation was. I'm looking at the rising and setting of the sun on a daily basis and the cycle of creation and saying, Osem Ma'aseh Breshit, God who renews that power of creation every day. And it's these cycles of creation that remind me so powerfully of this principle, which is the principle we live by every day. That's what I think this tshuva of Haris Nosson is saying, and I think that is essentially the resolution to the question of how we can make a bracha on that which is essentially astronomically in error, but religiously very powerful moment.
Thank you.
Cool.